Network, Giant Straight Talk, powered by Online Big Blue LLC, and a welcome to the party. I'm a little late to the show because we have the new pup, and he's just driving me insane. Want to talk about the Saquon Barkley contract and potential Saquon Barkley trades, which are non-existent. Want to talk about Dory Jackson for a minute. Also want to talk about the Daniel Jones restructure. Just saying that gives me shivers. You want to scare somebody? Don't have them watch The Exorcist. Just walk up behind him and go, Daniel Jones restructure. Actually, that's more. It's just a scary word. It's just ill-conceived. Could it potentially happen? Yes. But let's get into Saquon Barkley, because Twitter is driving me fucking insane again. And I know. I should stay off Twitter. But for all the people and all these giant fans and all these content creators that are in the know, we're going to trade Saquon Barkley as part of the Chicago deal to get the first round pick and draft Caleb Williams. Okay, that's in practicality. It sounds like a pretty good idea. Some minor flaws in this theory. Saquon's not under contract. Saquon hasn't been tagged. Saquon has to sign the tag, if he does get tagged, before you could even consider trading him, because you can't trade a player if he has not signed his tender. Sorry. So Saquon would have to agree to the trade to Chicago and have a contract already in place before you could make this happen. Because Saquon Barkley, for what everyone wants to believe, is not under contract with the Giants. And people are like, well, his only leverage is he could sit out. And he's not going to do that because he doesn't want to be a Le'Veon Bell. Because Le'Veon Bell did that, and look what happened to him with the Jets and his contract and everything else. It was horrible. Okay, yeah, he didn't get as much money as he should have. But you forget, and a lot of people forget about this in reference to Bell's contract. He was 4 years, $52 million. $27 million of that was guaranteed at signing. So he actually got more money than Saquon Barkley was offered by the Giants in total guarantees and guaranteed at signing, Bell did. You know, guys, there's this thing. I don't want to point this out. I want to bring this up. It's called Google. You can look this stuff up. It's not that difficult. And is could Saquon Barkley potentially be traded? Yes. But here's the issue. He has to agree to this. You can't just trade a guy that you do not have under contract. And I'm going to say this slow. He has to agree to the contract. He's got to basically agree to the trade by agreeing to the contract. Then you may trade him. You cannot trade a player who, A, is not under contract, who is not tagged, and who has not signed his tag. Oh, great balls of fire. Want to talk about Dory Jackson real quick before we get into the Daniel Jones extension mess. Or not extension, I should say restructure mess. Because we've talked about the Giants salary cap. We talked about the issues before. But one of the issues we haven't really talked about is Dory Jackson. Of course, he is a free agent. Dory, when he came over from the Titans, the rest of the league pretty much laughed at us because we were the only team decided to give him a raise coming off of an injury-plagued season. Did he play up to expectations? I think he played to about what he thought he was going to play to in the time here with New York. He played in only 13 games in 2021, 10 games in 2022, and 14 games in 2023. So he did miss, 13. He did miss 13 games in 3 years. He's a guy that makes the tackles. He's had a lot of solo tackles. He had 49 and 40 last year with only 14 assists and 11 assists in the previous years as well. He wasn't a guy that came with a lot of big interceptions. He only had two, but he was a guy that you could put on the other side and not have to worry about, you know, the quarterback going after him too much. I mean, he is a solid, I would say he's a solid second tier starter that most teams would love to have. And I think the Giants would love to have him back as well and team up with a full year with Deontay Banks. But can the Giants bring him in? Can they wheel him in? Can they give him enough guaranteed money, or can they give him a salary to have him be part of this organization? I'm thinking the answer is going to be no. I think you got a guy that's 28 years old. I believe he's coming into his sixth year. he's going to be looking for some change. And I understand that. I mean, I would be looking, you know, to bring in, I'd be looking to bring in some cash. I believe he got 30, what was averaged $13 million last year. I mean, over the term of his last contract. So the last contract with the Giants. So he's probably going to be looking at something similar. He's probably going to look at something that's going to put him either. I think he's probably going to be looking anywhere between if you're a Dory Jackson, you think about this, you got 3 years, $39 million from the Giants. So you're probably going to want to have something similar. So I would probably think he'd be looking for a salary increase. So, you know, you could probably see him around 3 years, $45 million, which would give him over a base salary of over about $15 million, plus some prorated bonuses. I mean, it's just not there for the Giants. It's really not, because we've talked about the New York Giants salary cap situation. You have all the capologists out there that are denying math, because math is math. I always think of the scene from The Incredibles 2 when Mr. Incredible is trying to teach his son Dash math, and he's sitting there going, why did they change math? Math is math. Math is math, guys. And I've said this a million times before. I've been saying this for the last 3 years that we've been doing this show. And we have been, like I said, one of the things I can always claim on this show, and I've always said it, is the fact that we have always been right about the salary cap. We have predicted the doom of the salary cap. We predicted when it was going to happen, where it was going to happen. Hell, last year we even said at the beginning of the season we were probably going to run out of money by mid-season, if not a little after. And of course, that's why we ended up trading
King of the Almost Sack.
Because you can watch these numbers, you could see it. You can put it in a spreadsheet. You can watch it fluctuate. You can, when you get all the contract values, you can see exactly what's going to go on. That's how we're able to predict the salary cap. It's not me being omnipotent. It's not me being Tim Stradamus. It's not being any of that thing. It's just being the fact that math is math. And the Giants' salary cap situation is not the greatest in the world right now for a team that will have limited a number of players under contract. You currently have anywhere between 26 and 28 million, and you can bring in some more money. You're going to have it's already inclusive with the $6 million with the rollover we have in 2023. But you also remember this is what the rule of 51. And we have been spouting the rule of 51 for years. I just love the fact that people have finally, you know, took the slow train around the bend and started figuring out what the hell that meant. But at this point in time, you got to remember, you have, you know, we've talked about this. You have almost 40%. I would say 37% of your roster tied up into three guys or four guys. Or no, technically three guys. I'm sorry. Jones, Thomas, and Lawrence. So there's going to have to be some restructure going on because of the fact that you could probably manipulate the cap. You could probably make some moves to get rid of some guys, but there's not a lot of big time moves. I mean, you get rid of Glowinski and bring in another $6 million. I think Darius Slayton's probably going to be on the way out because you can also save $6 million with him as well. So you already picked up $12 million right there. So you add that on. Let's just say it's 30 because I don't want to do basic math today. That's $42 million already that you've gone over. You have other contracts that you're going to have to manipulate a little bit because honestly, if you take a look at your contract values, you have 47, 23, 22, 14, 11, and 8 at 8 and 7. So you have a large, and then you got a lot of guys after people like Banks that are making under $2 million and under. So you have a large portion of your cap. You're cap heavy again. I mean, I don't understand this. I don't understand a lot of things that Joe Shane does with the cap. Maybe it's not him. Maybe it's his capologist because Logan Ryan thing still bugs me. I think we only saved we saved $790,000, but we could have saved millions if we used one of our two post June 1st designations on him. But the problem was they would have strung it out through that one, the first year and the second year. And that's why he didn't want to push money out into the second year. That's why he didn't do it, even though he would have saved more money in the long run. But then he does it with contracts. We're not going to get into that because it just doesn't make sense sometimes the things that he does. But your biggest albatross, your biggest bugaboo, your biggest issue on this entire roster is that $47 million cap hit sitting right in front of you. That's Daniel Jones's contract, $69 million in dead cap number. I mean, you the smart money would be you probably only have about 38, 40 people under contract. Once you move around from some people, you're going to bring in some guys from the draft. We also remember, even if you're allotted like $11 million in your salary and your rookie salary, that $11 million is not fully taken off your books, because only about $3 to $4 million of that is guaranteed. The contracts do not come on the books until they are not fully guaranteed, but the contracts do not come on the books for the rookies after like round three, until the season starts and they're on the roster. So you have to manipulate. You have that money you can manipulate in the beginning now, but it's not until the season starts that you need to have to worry about that exponentially. But the problem is you need to find money. You need to find cap space. I'm seeing the same pattern again. I'm seeing you're going to go out. You're going to try to spend some money on the offensive line. You're probably going to try to find wide receivers. You may need a safety or two, or even a cornerback, because then you're going to have to go out and find a way to get this money and make it happen. Yes, you know what's funny? You could move on. You could restructure a part of Andrew Thomas and Dexter Lawrence's contract. Those two contracts to bind is a cap hit. And I love this. Think about this. That cap hit is $45 million between these two players. Here's a big issue. You have one player that's at $47 million. That's something to think about right there. And you can always go down the road again, like I said, converting some of that money to guaranteed bonus money. But here's the issue in that. I forget off the top of my head, because it has been a long couple, 6 days. I forget the exact percentage you can convert per year off a player's contract. I'll have to look it up again. I used to remember what it was. I was smart till the dog showed up. So you can make those things happen. But then at the end of the day, you also have to remember, you still have Isaiah Simmons, Adoree Jackson, Xavier McKinney, Saquon Barkley sitting out there as free agents. And they are, you have three guys in Jackson, McKinney, and Barkley who are a huge part of your team at times. And you could say that Isaiah Simmons could be even a larger part if you lose, Xavier McKinney. You're not going to tag Xavier McKinney, because the number is just too crazy to tag McKinney. So the logical expectations would be to tag Saquon Barkley, give him the 20% raise, but then you don't know if he's even going to be willing to accept the tag. The numbers just don't work out, guys. And then you have the maturing contracts of Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. And also, you will start having the maturing context of the contract of Deontay Banks in 2 years. And then you're going to be moving forward even more with the larger scale contract in reference to Bobby Okereke. Okereke's only got $11 million cap hit against a $17 million debt cap number. So his number is manageable, so you're not going to even touch that. Here's the thing if you look at it. You're not going to touch. The only contracts you could touch is Jones, Thomas, and Dexter Lawrence. You could move on from Darren Waller. It's a $14 million cap hit, but you're going to save $7 million in the long run. You're not going to touch Okereke. You're not going to touch Kayvon Thibodeau. You could get rid of Slayton. You're not going to touch Gano. You can't get rid of Gano because he's got a $9 million dead cap number against a $7 million cap hit. You're not going to get rid of Evan Neal. You could get rid of Nacho, but you're only going to save about $1 million. You're not going to get rid of Banks. Jackson's already gone. You're not going to get rid of Wando Robinson. And then you have all these other guys making $2 million. It's poor cap management again, guys. I'm sorry. The basic math numbers just don't make sense with the talent that we have. And I think that's what we need to look at. I want to thank everyone for jumping on the live stream yesterday. It was a lot of fun. We had Big Dash Nose and R0B. Big Dash Nose. And of course, everyone knows Big Dash. If you don't, go subscribe to his channel. Go find R0B. He's out there always doing those Twitter spaces. So that's always a lot of fun. We're going to have a big show on Sunday with a special guest. Just not going to tell you who it is. And again, don't forget the like. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to ring that bell, because you want to know why. That'd be awesome.